Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Richard Dayoub, President and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce. It's Saturday, February the 13th, and welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. And as is our wont, on a normal basis, we try to invite civic leaders who work in strategic areas to help our economy grow and hopefully provide to you, our listening audience, information that you'll find useful for the future. And today is no exception. I'm very fortunate to have with us today the new president and CEO of the Hub of Human Innovation here in El Paso. And you may know him by other titles in the past, Mr. Joe Wardy. Joe, welcome.
Thank you, Richard. It's a pleasure to be here.
So maybe we should begin by you telling us a little bit about how long have you been on the job?
Well, I started the beginning of January, found out about this position by accident. The previous president CEO retired and decided to relocate back to where her family was in Vermont. And I know one of the board members and said, you know what, this position is open and this may be of interest to you. I was looking for something to where I could contribute to El Paso. I'm pretty senior in my career, and so I was looking for another challenge, as I normally have. And everything seemed right after a few meetings with the chair of the board and interviewed with the governance committee. And I accepted the position and started at the beginning of January.
Well, congratulations on that new position. I know that you and I had privately spoken about it, but we won't go into that conversation.
Right.
In advance, as you were contemplating whether or not to accept a position. But I think very important to our listening audience is to maybe explain to them what exactly the Hub of Human Innovation, that was easy for me to say, the Hub of Human Innovation is, what the organization does and where it's located, and then what prompted you, then what sparked your interest in this area?
Well, my entire family were entrepreneurs. It is a much more sophisticated process today to open a business, to do a startup, to take an idea, and to move it forward. We don't really in our community do any training of entrepreneurs. People have ideas, and we have always subscribed many times, even in El Paso, to the needle in the haystack. The chances of succeeding without any formalized, or I'm going to say any tutoring, are minimal, because a lot of people that have the ideas don't have the knowledge of business or what it takes to create a company or to take that idea and commercialize it. And henceforth, there were some people that worked, Gary Williams at UTEP. There's a number of people in the community. I don't want to name all their names. Gary Williams is the head chair of our board and also is a professor at UTEP. But I can tell you that he's from the engineering department. So the technology transfer of research at UTEP into ideas that can be commercialized, ideas from UTEP students, from UTEP alumni, from other members of the community that may have moved here. We lacked an incubator similar to Arrowhead Center in Las Cruces, which is really a neat operation, and the Technology Hub in Juarez, which Ricky Mora has started. So about 4 years ago, the Hub of Human Innovation was begun through the efforts of a lot of courageous people that were stepping out there that had the entrepreneurial spirit, that had helped develop some ideas and helped develop knowledge in our community. So our principal operations are a grant. We're a nonprofit. We have a grant. We're on the second phase of a contract with the city of El Paso. We have funding for 4 years. We have some pretty significant targets we have to attain for startups and education and co-seminars with the Economic Development Department, probably be doing some things with the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce down the road to promote entrepreneurship and the training involved. So what we have noticed and what our staff has noticed over the years is we have people that come to us with ideas, and I think we had been focused a little bit on taking them immediately into the knowledge base for a startup, the funding and to the mentoring, coaching, and training. But what we are discovering is that there is a really dearth of entrepreneurship. So we want to promote entrepreneurship education in our community. So we're going to open it up not just to UTEP students that want to learn entrepreneurship, but to members of our community that maybe have had an idea for years and just didn't know how to go forward with it. So it's an exciting opportunity to help build an organization that I believe is sorely needed in our community that fills a void. I can tell you that we had an Angels Network years ago, which I was a member initially, and it fell apart for lack of deal flow. But part of the reason I believe it fell apart, and I could be wrong, is that we didn't have the Hub of Human Innovation. We didn't have a vehicle for entrepreneurs to come to so that we could help them develop their ideas, mentor and coach them, help them on access to funding, looking at partners and business mentors that were in their field or their endeavor that they were looking at. We could help them with market research. They did some competitions, connect them to regional partnerships. That didn't exist. So today it does. And we're a little bit behind. Arrowhead Center is a very mature operation, very impressive. There's the lady that runs it graduated from UTEP. And they're funded by a state land grant, which is a little bit different than we're facing. And they're, you know, New Mexico State is a tier one university. But we're going to benchmark off of some successful practices that Texas Tech is using possibly, and even that Arrowhead Center at New Mexico State is using. So our job is to help people that have ideas, and we're leaning towards clean energy and technology transfer, but that doesn't eliminate anybody from the equation. So it's exciting to develop a concept, and we're going to teach entrepreneurship. It's exciting because we have a visiting professor in El Paso that Dr. Nachman brought, our business dean. His name is Bruce Kingma, and he is from Syracuse University. He is teaching two entrepreneurship classes at UTEP, and I get to speak to both of them next week, one undergraduate and one for the MBA class. So UTEP is beginning to teach entrepreneurship, and I think it's a very important link in our community. So not just for engineering and science students, but also the business component, to have some business students that are interested in partnering with science and engineering students to form startups. There's tremendous amount of research at UTEP that could be commercialized, and as a result, UTEP students that have graduated that have ideas. And so we're going to be the vehicle. And so we have a lot of work to do. We're going to proof out as we go forward. We're going to become very laser-focused on the education component of entrepreneurship and also taking people that are ready and mentoring them through the startup phase on capital, patents, forming a corporation, all of the necessary steps that sometimes people don't have any knowledge of and stumble through. We don't want them to stumble through anymore.
And in almost every case, because of their lack of expertise in those disciplines you just discussed, particularly when it comes down to patent, they're spending perhaps more money, and that's the one thing they have the least of, is financial resources.
Well, I'll give you an example, Richard, and it's very interesting. We're tonight from 5 to 7 at the Hub of Human Innovation is class number 2 on customer discovery. So we're teaching customer discovery. There's a lot of people that have some great ideas that they go through an entire process. They could have done research for 5 or 6 years. They could have built a prototype. They could have filed for a patent and then figured out there's no market for this product. So in customer discovery, they learn the skill set to be able to canvas, and they're going to make probably 100 contacts to find out if there is a market for their product. Because it may be that they thought that the market was to 30-year-old females, when in the end, the 30-year-old females would tell them, you know, that's something that my mom would be interested in. So we're trying, and it is proven that people that go through this type of training, their chance of success increases by over 100%. And we know that there is a very high failure rate for new businesses and new startups. But if they do the training and understand to go through all of this before and they get the mentoring and the coaching and the entrepreneurship training, then their chances of success increase dramatically.
So I have to pause you and ask you, if I were the listening audience right now, I kind of am, what does it cost me to participate in that class for customer discovery?
$60.
$60.
We're meeting every 2 weeks from 5 to 7 p.m., 5 p.m. sharp to 7 p.m. sharp, because most people that are in this class, we have 23 people in the class right now, work full time. But they have a passion for an idea or a technology that they would like to take and maybe start a company. So we are teaching them customer discovery because they don't know how to reach their clients. There's some exciting, there's 9 companies, 22 people. There are some very interesting, very diverse ideas and technologies. And so they are learning the skill set on how to discover if they have a market.
So how frequently do you teach this class?
Every 2 weeks. They graduate on March the 30th.
Okay, so after that, you'll start another cohort.
Right, we'll start another cohort or another class.
And is there a qualification process involved to get into the class, or just the simple drive, I have an idea, I want to pursue this, and I need to learn all I can, and here's my $60.
They come in, they fill out an application. We go through the application. We are very clear in explaining to them, look, this isn't a situation where people take lightly. They have homework. They don't do the homework, they're going to be disinvited, I guess is the proper term. This is for serious people that are serious at learning this. So this isn't we're screening them a little bit. We don't pick winners and losers here. The goal is for them to be able to create a business model and ultimately to determine if they have a product that's saleable. We don't tell them whether that's going to happen or not. They're going to discover it themselves. So customer discovery is one of the classes. We will be offering other classes as we go forward to train entrepreneurs in our community. So it could be, you know, I found out yesterday there's a Stanford study on Latino entrepreneurship and shows that a lot of Latino-owned businesses peak at $100,000. Why? There's some great ideas, some really hardworking people. They do not have the entrepreneurial skill set to take their business to the next level. I believe that that exists in our community. We have a lot of hardworking entrepreneurs that have some good ideas that would like to be able to take that idea or that concept or that business to the next level. They don't have a skill set. We're hoping, well, we want, hoping and plan to fill that gap.
As I was listening to you, a thought crossed my mind. We actually have a partner within the chamber facility, a partner in the sense that we work together. They operate separately. They have their own budget funded by the Small Business Administration. That's the Service Corps of Retired Executives, which is, their acronym is SCORE. And they've been around forever across the country. They've been fairly successful here in El Paso. We've had a long-term partnership that goes back to the days when we used to have the Loma Land Building, the so-called Center for Workforce Preparedness, and they shared space there with us. When we sold that building, then they moved downtown with us, and we have a great working relationship with them through our business development division. And I've already talked to my staff in business development to get them to work with you and come over and see what you're doing and how we can complement what you're doing, because some of the things you just mentioned, SCORE does already. It's the problem with what they're doing is they don't have, first of all, they're volunteers, and most of them, as the name implies, are retired executives. And so very often, some of the things that they really need to drill down on a little more deeply, such as you pointed out, customer discovery, they're not prepared to take them that deep into it, but they can sit down and look at your business model, say, well, this business model won't work the way it is, and here's why or why not. They'll look at their marketing plan. They'll look at their plan for financing, because that's the other big problem almost everyone has as a startup, unless they happen to have, you know, gotten a golden parachute somewhere, like you. I'm teasing. But what happens is, I've only got this many dollars. How am I going to develop all these plans, and who can I trust? That's the other aspect. Who can I trust to guide me correctly? So I think there's some great opportunities here for synergy to work together Perhaps they can even be a vehicle for you to provide you a small pipeline of potential clients to participate in the hub.
Well, we have a mentor program. Right now we have a list of 32 mentors in our community and in the region that have all been entrepreneurs that have built very successful businesses. And so we try and assign them right now in the incubator. We probably have about 5 or 6 companies that we're working with, probably about 8 companies that we're working with. It's at various degrees. And we're trying to assign people that we think are a good match for where they're at in the process. It'd be great to be able to expand that list. You know, I reached out a little bit to one of my son went to UTEP, and one of the gentlemen that he played football with is very involved in advertising in the video game industry and developing that in Southern California. Well, we have a local El Pasoan that wants to develop a type of video game competition. We really didn't have the expertise here. I reached out to him, and he is signing the mentor agreement because it's got very clear on what we expect from the mentors, what their time allowed is. It's not a huge amount of time we ask for them, but they've got to be available. It's coordinated through our office. And he is a good person to help mentor this person through that process to figure out if this will work. And so, you know, we're trying to if we can increase the pool of mentors, people that have been successful, that are entrepreneurs or have expertise, could be manufacturing, could be the service sector, could be a little bit of everything. So we're excited about that, and I appreciate that. That will help us tremendously.
I think it will be. And to your mention about the mentorship program, I know before you and I spoke some months ago when you were first entertaining this whole concept, I forwarded it to you the information on the Entrepreneur Center in Nashville. And I don't think I've ever been to any facility that's impressed me more with their very unique approach. It's a little different than we have here. And they have a lot of money, all privately funded, coming in from people in the music industry, no surprise. But other entrepreneurs have made fortunes in the healthcare professions. And they come in and they put their money up, literally, to help fund programs for these young entrepreneurs. And their approach is a little different because at this point they can afford to be, which is you're with us 6 months to a year. And after that, you either are going to fly on your own and now you're out of the center, or you're going to fail on your own and you're out of the center.
Well, Richard, that's pretty much the model. There's different variations. San Diego's got a very sophisticated model. Nashville, there are some really great hubs. In fact, we're going to the national meeting and there's going to be some great presentations. So I'm hoping to move my skill set up forward tremendously in mid-April when we go to this conference. But people that wrote the business model textbook that we're using for our presenters at this conference. So
where is the conference?
It's in Orlando, Florida. It's the National Business Incubator Association. And there's, I think, most of the top business incubators in the country participate. It's a very active association, a lot of education. So we think it's going to go well, but there are some great models. We're going to benchmark. We're going to try and find a system. Well, we are going to find a system. Let me back up. Not try and find a system. We're going to benchmark off something and then apply it into El Paso. We've got a unique set of circumstances, just like every community does. So we don't need to reinvent the wheel here. We're going to take some successful practices and implement them here. And then with the help of all the resources, the University of Texas at El Paso, the Medical Center of the Americas Foundation, the Greater El Paso Chamber, the Hispanic Chamber, we want to enlist all the resources, the Society of Professional Engineers here, all of the resources in the community to get behind promoting entrepreneurship and encouraging entrepreneurship in our community.
We only have about 10 minutes left, and there's still a plethora of questions I have for you. But before we get to the end of the show and it escapes me, please tell our listening audience where you're located.
Well, we are located at 500 West Overland. It is the former Bluebell building that Transtelco remodeled, Miguel Fernandez Jr. And we share offices there. We have a small suite of offices that were furnished by the building's owner as a donation to the hub. We're in the same building with the El Paso Times. So if people want a reference point, it's the new home of the El Paso Times since the city bought the Times building.
You're on the second floor.
We are on the second floor. And everybody is welcome at any time to come and find out. We have workspace that we provide for hub clients. A lot of times they don't have place for a meeting. We have clients that are working on projects on both sides of the border. We've made arrangement with the technology hub in Juarez for their clients to use our offices and our clients to use their offices. So we're moving the ball forward, and we're participating with the BorderPlex Alliance on the Entrepreneurship Task Force. And we hope to start promoting and helping not – you know, the goal of the Entrepreneurship Task Force is high tech, but, you know, there's other applications, and we want to probably a little more broad at the Hub of Human Innovation.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So just touching on a couple of places, you actually just touched on one yourself in the Medical Center of the Americas Foundation, Emma Schwartz. Emma is leading an initiative through the MCA that's on the space race, right? So she made a presentation to our board actually yesterday afternoon. Well, since this is pre-taped and it's February the 13th, it was actually at our January board meeting, so we don't confuse our listening audience. A dynamic program that they're following pursuit. So would you touch a little bit on that relationship?
Well, Emma Schwartz happens to be on the board, the governing board for the Hub of Human Innovation. So we were privy to a lot of this information before the rollout because Emma would like, and the MCA Foundation would like our participation to help as mentors in this process, maybe to some teams and to cooperate in any way possible. I think it's very interesting. Look, El Paso, I've got to celebrate what Emma is bringing forward from the MCA Foundation on this space race. Listen, we have tried a lot of things that haven't worked, and it's time that we think out of the box a little bit. And maybe this is – people go, why would we be doing this? And my question is, why not? We have got to do things and break the mold of everybody does it this way. Those paradigms are gone. There's a new thinking that's an open type. You know, the millennials are looking – they look at things differently, as we all know, than our generation did. So it's a little bit more chaos. It's a little more open. We encourage them to fail because success comes from failure. So it's a very different, not as regimented approach going forward. So this is a very exciting program because these are NASA patented products that are available. And the neat thing is for startups, they've made them available at no cost to startups. If a company comes in, let's say a GE or one of those companies comes in to buy one of these patents, they're going to pay millions for these things. So this is in partnership with the National Science Foundation. I think it's pretty exciting. I'm anxious to see. In fact, there are some people meeting in our offices as I left for this interview that plan to participate. They are graduates of UTEP and Texas Tech, and they are going to participate. One is in medical school. They're going to participate in one of the teams. They are forming a team for the competition.
That's great. That's great. You said something that really triggered a thought. We were in a meeting yesterday, the chamber leadership participated in a meeting earlier in the day yesterday and talked about some of the misperceptions that even El Pasoans themselves seem to possess far too strongly, which is that we are going to be following others and what they do. We're going to try and learn from others. But to your comment a moment ago, I will offer this. We, in fact, are, and this was spoken to me by a gentleman who moved to El Paso. He's lived all over the world, and I mean in top leadership positions with Fortune 500 technology companies. And his comments were very simple. The one thing he was so pleasantly surprised about, he's fallen in love with El Paso, is that we actually are at the edge, the leading edge of technology in a number of areas. And so many other communities across the country and across the world are coming here to learn from us. And I'll give you one prime example. Our public service board and our water utility and our desalination plant. They now have a tech center there, the Tech 2.0. And it was designed when they built this thing to enable people to come here and learn. So we have hydrologists coming from all over the world, experts in their fields, and even within our state of Texas. Now, right now, we're not suffering in a drought but we, in fact, still have serious water problems across the nation, California being one of them, and certainly Southeast Texas, San Antonio, Austin, and others. They're coming here to learn our technologies and what we've done that makes our system so unique. And that just kind of underscores what you're talking about. So here's another great opportunity to have us become an incubator for other companies who want to build on that technology and borrow from it.
We have three people at the hub right now working on water projects that are very interesting technology. You know, so it's a great point, Richard. There are some things where we lead. You know, we have a little bit of an inferior – well, we have an inferiority complex, period, in our community. We do some things well. We do like everywhere else. You have the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we, those that are involved, we need to encourage everyone to participate and to provide a good future for our children and their grandchildren.
By the way, I want to underscore what you just said, because there is a tendency, and that's also not just in El Paso, but throughout the world. The headline reads on the ugly, because that's what sells. If it's on the radio, on the television, in the newspaper. But we have so much of the good here. And I think we need to all do a better job of concentrating and focusing and then applauding the success of the good that's occurring in this community. And you're among those who are helping through no personal benefit to push hard and try to help us take our community to the next level. We talk about some of the community leaders like Woody Hunt and Paul Foster and Rick Francis and many others who've helped bring us to medical school and now downtown revitalization and sports and the things that are fun things to do. But this is all critical to our economic growth, because these young people that you're having come into your facilities are also the same young people that we want to recruit to live downtown and make our downtown as vibrant as Austin's is without the high cost and the traffic congestion, right? So we're just about out of time. We have about 1 minute. Any closing thoughts from you to our listening audience?
I want to tell you that both of us are lifelong El Pasoans, and it's exciting to see so many more people getting involved in the community. Everybody has to make time to participate, and I don't care if it's as a Cub Scout leader or to coach a youth sports team or to volunteer at the Chamber of Commerce. There are all kinds of opportunities to work at the food bank on the weekend to help sort food. We need people to step forward. We're only going to be as great as our population, and people need to understand everybody needs to give back. So we've both been blessed to be able to do that, and I want to encourage others to please find something that interests you and sign up.
Joe, thank you so very much again for being on the show with us. And again, Joe is the president and CEO of the Hub of Human Innovation. And you have been listening to another edition of El Paso Primetime. Thank you for listening.